This is the closing market report. It is the 29th day of May, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then a bit later in the program, we'll hear from the state statisticians across the Midwest about growing conditions and crop progress in their areas. As we close out our time together, speaking of growing conditions, we'll speak with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated about the weather forecast, not only for the Midwest and the nation, but also for China, as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Lerner Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Lerner Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Lerner Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago, for Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat gained 9 cents to settle at 7.02¾. The September there at 7.11¼, up 9½. And the hard red in Kansas City at $7.47¾, up 4¼. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, a penny and a half lower for the lead option July. It was the only loser, down 1½ cents at $6.65. September futures gained a dime to settle at $5.93¾ in the corn pit. December at $5.65¾, up 14¾. And the March corn at $5.75¾, up 14¼. May futures 582½, 13½ higher. And July contract at 588½, up 12½ cents. July soybeans at $15 a penny and three quarters, down 7½ cents. The August at $14.29¼, 4½ lower. September at $13.31½, down 2¾. November beans $12.88½, up a half. January at $12.94¾, up a half. And the March contract at $12.95¼, a half cent higher. Bean meal futures at $4.44.30, up $2 on the day. Bean oil at $48.63. Their settlement price down 91 cents. Live cattle futures on the afternoon nearby contract, that's June, at 121.37½, 62½ higher. August at 120.40, that's up 97½ as it settled the afternoon. August feeder cattle at 145.62½, 15 cents higher. And the September at 147.77½, up 22½ cents. June lean hogs 94.72½, up 2½, and July at $93 even, down 35 cents. The August there, 92.50, up 2½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil, $93 and a penny, down $2 even. June gasoline wholesale price on the RBOB at 279 9/10. 5 3/10 cents lower, and ethanol at 269, 5 8/10 cents higher. The difference between those two, now 10 9/10 on the spread, very narrow as it compares over the last year at least. That's 11 1/10 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.14 8/10 cents, down 2 6/10, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.86 9/10, 3 7/10 cents lower. Gold futures in the June contract at $1,391.30 an ounce, up $12.40, and the dollar at 83.66, down 0.43 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Wednesday afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 86 degrees on a south wind at about 15 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. And then for this evening, partly cloudy, a low of 67 degrees. Tomorrow, 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Partly sunny otherwise, a high of 85 degrees. It'll be breezy with a south wind at 14 to 21, gusting to 30. And then tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Mostly cloudy, a low of 66 degrees. On a south wind, it's 13 to 17. Chance of precipitation or rainfall tomorrow night set at 60%. Friday, showers and thunderstorms will continue. Mostly cloudy and 82. Rainfall precipitation in the area set at 60% Friday night. Those thunderstorms should continue. They'll clear out. Actually, they will not clear out. Chance of precipitation on Friday evening raised to 70% with a low of 68 degrees. And on Saturday, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 77 degrees.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 29th day of May, a Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson out of Champaign County is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, there's an awful lot to talk about, I think, in the marketplace. And maybe I want to start actually with the livestock, because I think one of the bigger stories of the day was a purchase that a Chinese company made of Smithfield Foods.
Well, that's true. It's and don't hold me to this pronunciation, but Sean Hu is as close as I could get. Paid $4.72 billion to acquire Smithfield. They have other holdings here in the United States, but I think the most significant thing is it now becomes a private company, and that is always a change in the playing field. As far as its impact on the hog market today, I don't think that there was a tremendous impact other than the deferreds did play out a little bit higher, and I think that they're putting in, maybe we'll get some more demand that will actually go over to China now that this is a China company that owns it.
Yeah, this is a company that is, I believe, a processor and a hog producer both.
That's exactly correct.
And it will continue to be that way because Smithfield is that way. So
that's exactly right.
it just acquired assets here in the United States and other Smithfield assets, I suppose, over time. So that's kind of one of the big news stories of the day. But let's take a look directly at what happened in Chicago. Start in the corn pit for me.
Well, you know, this was a pretty wild and crazy day. The July corn traveled all the way down to that 651 and a half and ended up closing at 665, down a penny and a half. On the day. I think some of that was in regard to early spread unwinding. We saw some wheat and corn spreads unwinding, moving around, month-end squaring. Everybody's going to be getting prepared. You know, the Friday's the end of the month. The end of next week, we'll begin to see some of the, like the gold, what we always call the Goldman roll, and some of those people will be moving out of the July contract and either moving to September or December. But I think the big thing, there's a couple of things. You look at the planting levels. You know, we were 86% planted last night, which still leaves us 13.7 million acres to go. But the most significant is basically there's 9.5 million acres, 1.3 in Illinois, 2.1 million in Iowa, 900,000 in Indiana, 1.6 million in Minnesota, 1.1 in North Dakota, 1.6 in Wisconsin. That 9.5 million acres is significant. One, for some of the major ones, of course, it's because where we have some of the best production levels. But the North Dakota, Wisconsin, and even Minnesota are significant because of the fact that when you look at our insurance levels right now, the question will come up, will these guys actually continue to plant corn until they can't anymore, or will they pull up stakes and decide to take preventive plant, or will they actually look to beans? Well, you know, in the North Dakota area, pretty tough to go over to beans and expect that you're actually going to finish the crop. The later we get with corn, the tougher it gets, too. So this weather forecast that we're seeing, you know, a half to 2.5 inches and maybe 3 to 6 inches in some areas across most of the central Midwest, has the market pretty wound out. You know, today was the first time, Todd, that we saw December actually close over the 100-day moving average since the 7th of December of 2012. So I get, you know, everybody's excited when we see these prices going up, but I think we have to, as producers and end users both, but especially as producers, take into consideration the higher these prices go, the harder it is for us to keep ethanol going, the harder it is for us to keep exports going, and the more we encourage our competitors to plant. And granted, Mother Nature is doing this to us right now, but we just have to remember that is all in the mix.
A couple of things. Listeners have asked, and then, of course, you asked as well, what Gary Schnitke was thinking about two different things, Acre or the Acre sign-up, and then about Prevent Plant. And I wrote him a note yesterday. Thank you for asking the question. Talked to him this morning And we'll hear those a bit later. I'll try to put them maybe on the website at willag.org or into my Twitter feed or both. The Twitter feed's at Commodity Week. On Acre, basically, and this is a boil, it boils down to this, is that it is cheap insurance, relatively speaking, about 75% of the time, he says, in a year like this one. And he said 1998 was the year closest, in his opinion, at this point. It will not pay. So you have to make a decision as to what you think about those. It could pay very well, $8 to $9 at $4.50 and at $4 corn, I think about $80 or $81. That's actually up on the FarmDoc website at this time. It should be the lead story there, and it's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And then, Jackie, you asked about prevent plants. So Gary went through the numbers with me across the Midwest. They're pretty interesting because the prevent plant date in Illinois and a lot of the primary growing area is, what, June 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. But some southern Illinois counties, don't ask me which ones, I didn't check. And some of the northern tier states are May 31.
Right.
So they're on this Friday. And so the question then is, economically, does it pay them as well or better to go ahead and to prevent plant? And it's kind of a toss-up. It's really close. You've got to run the numbers. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that pans out, because there are a whole bunch of corn acres there that may not be planted. And then again, Jackie, if you don't plant them, though, you still have a crop, say, of what size? 13.6 billion in a carryover 1.6 or a 13.4 crop and a 1.4, given the condition the current corn's in, right?
Right. That's exactly correct. And so, I mean, to take us down to 1.5, without changing anything else as far as demand goes, we've got to lose about 3 million acres if we produce 158. And that's going to be the wild card. You know, I talked to one of our clients out in the Western Plains or in the northwestern Kansas, and he said this morning, man, I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, he said, I was looking out the window. My grass is green. Everything's looking pretty nice around here. And so I went and I figured out how much rain we've actually gotten. And he said, I just felt sick to my stomach. He said, we had 2.65 inches of rain since January 1st. He said, we had 10 inches of rain last year, which was the same as a Dust Bowl year. And he said, our normal is 17. He said, you cannot raise crops on less than 10 inches of rain. And so that was a very sobering thing for me, because I think with all of the, I wouldn't want to call it complaining, but with all of the talk about how wet it is, we have areas right now that still have major drought issues, and we're not even thinking about those. And that in itself could have an impact on where we finally end up on corn, as well as when you look at replants. I think it's interesting. We're hearing replants in parts of Iowa. We're hearing replants in parts of northern Illinois and in some of your other states. And yet, you know, when you look at the crop progress or the planting progress, replant never plays in. Once it's planted, it's planted. And so there's another thing that lies in the background that could have a potential impact on what yield actually ends up being.
Let's switch gears. Talk about China. There was a cancellation of beans to them today.
Yeah, that was very disturbing. 147,000 metric tons of old crop beans. And immediately you saw the talk on the wire about, oh, my gosh, you know, exports are slowing and everything's dire and miserable. But we already have 93% shipped. We are already we have 1.4 billion sold. And we only need to ship actually 6.5 million bushels per week until the end of the crop year to meet the USDA expectations. And so I don't think it's quite as bad, but anytime China cancels something, it has an impact. And it did dog old crop today. And yet I thought old crop just made a fantastic comeback from 1490 all the way back to 1501 to make a good close. So we still have 44% of the acres to plant yet. That's 43.2 million acres. And in those states we talked about before, there's 26.7 million acres of beans that just lie in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin. So, you know, that always puts a question mark. And then, of course, prevented plant puts a question mark as to, are we going to get as many beans if we don't plant as much corn as what people think? Nobody tested the 200-day moving average today, but it just couldn't manage to hold it.
What's your final thought on the market for the afternoon?
Well, I think that I think we're only in for more volatility, Todd. This is beginning to turn out to be a year that could be more wild than last year. I think you could, with normal weather in June, July, and August, if we could possibly hope for that, you could see 450 in front of new crop corn. Without normal weather, you know, we could see a 7 potentially in front of new crop corn. So much is going to depend upon how this weather treats us, because we have a lot of pollination that's going to go on. We know at least 40% of the crops going to pollinate probably in the third week of July, a very poor time. But if we have soil moisture, even if we have heat, that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But now we're pushing the rest of this crop even further out.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Wednesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that 86% of the corn crop has been planted nationwide. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 90%. 54% of that crop has emerged, compared to 67% on the five-year average. For soybeans, now 44% sown nationwide. That compares to 61% on the rolling five-year average. Just 14% of that crop is up and growing, compared to the normal 30%. Some of the numbers that we do not have from the state statisticians: Iowa, the only statisticians not reporting directly to us today, 85% of their corn crop has been sown, compared to 98% normally. And in Iowa, 54% of that crop is up. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 81% there. Soybeans in the ground in Iowa now at 40%. That's just about half of what they usually have in the ground, a little less actually, 83% usually by this time of year. Now here are the state statisticians from the other parts of the Midwest.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and wet across Illinois. Temperatures were 2 to 3 degrees below normal, and rainfall totals ranged from about 1 inch to 2.5 inches, and also higher in isolated areas. Some field work was accomplished early in the week, but rain put an end to planting and spraying for weeds later in the week. Corn planting increased to 89% complete, right on the five-year average for the state. The percent of acres with corn emerged is now 68%, slightly below the five-year average of 70%. The average height of corn plants around the state is 4 inches, compared to 12 inches 1 year ago and 6 inches normally. Soybean planting reached 40% complete, compared to 53% normally. 12% of soybean acres are emerged, compared to 28% normally. Sorghum planting reached 20% complete. Oats are 7% headed, and winter wheat is 82% headed. All are slightly behind their respective five-year average crop progress for this date. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending Sunday, May 26, 2013. Rain in the beginning of the week gave way to clear conditions, with producers taking every opportunity to focus on spring planting activities. Precipitation again on Saturday in Central County slowed the final wrap-up, but not until corn planting was near completion and soybeans near two-thirds complete. Winter wheat was just 7% headed, over 2 weeks behind average. And alfalfa first cutting was just beginning, well behind last year and average. Moisture accumulations through Sunday total an inch or more across much of the state, with lesser amounts across the Panhandle and southern border counties. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies rated adequate in about two-thirds of the state, but short to very short elsewhere. Pastures remain in poor or very poor condition across much of the western half of the state. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Wet weather slowed crop planting in Minnesota for the week. Most weather reporting stations showed cooler than normal temperatures along with greater than normal precipitation. Minnesota farmers saw a statewide average of 1.9 days rated suitable for field work during the week. Corn planting was 82% complete. That compares to 100% last year and the average of 95%. Corn emergence increased 32 percentage points during the week to reach 40% emerged. Even with this large increase, corn emergence remained well behind last year's 91% and the average of 67%. Soybeans were 42% planted, that compares with 92% last year and the average of 76%. Soybeans did not emerge as rapidly as corn and were estimated to be 3% emerged, which is 36 percentage points behind last year and 22 percentage points behind average. Oat progress remained behind normal with 85% planted and 50% emerged. Spring wheat and barley planting were both behind normal at 86 and 77% respectively. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 26th. Farmers made good progress planting both corn and soybeans despite cool temperatures and intermittent rain showers. 86% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, which is still behind the 99% that was planted last year by this same time, but is now ahead of the five-year average pace of 77%. By area, 97% of the corn acreage has been planted in the north, 88% in the central region, and only 59% across the southern districts. About 56% of the corn acreage has emerged at this time with good stands reported. 69% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted compared with 92% last year and 49% for the five-year average. By area, 79% of the soybean acreage has been planted in the north, 62% in the central region, and 22% in the south. About 24% of the soybean acreage has emerged. 68% of the winter wheat acreage is headed compared with 96% last year and 78% for the five-year average. The cool, wet spring has caused the winter wheat to mature slower than normal, but there have been very few reports of disease or insect problems associated with the crop. Most of the fruit and berry crops will make it through the bloom stage this year with very little frost damage. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, let's take a quick check of the cash grain markets. Scott Butcher is on the phone line with us. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Scott, farmers, I suspect, are not in the field. Are they calling you?
Yeah, things are definitely wrapping up out in the field. I know a lot of them would like to be out spraying right now and trying to do some of those things, but just in our area here locally, it's probably a little wet to be doing anything. But at the same time, not a lot of selling going on either.
Not of interest for new or old crop, I take it. Do you believe that they should be interested in either of these?
Yeah, I do think that, especially on, maybe even both. I was going to say new crop would probably be the one that, you know, really ought to be taking a look at if you have not done.
Yeah, it seems that we have lost him in some form or another, but that's all right. He's got the idea that he was thinking about looking at new crop corn and whether you might want to put a sale in there. Thanks to Scott Butcher. He's up, of course, at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be with us.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Coco Van Day. Legends trace the French fricassee of rooster dish to ancient Gaul and Julius Caesar. But the earliest written records do not appear until the 20th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, Charles II, King of England, was born. Mary Monarch Tea was introduced to England during his reign. On December 23rd of 1675, he issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses. But the public response was so negative that he revoked it just over a year later. In 1716, Louise Jean-Marie Daubertin was born, a French naturalist and pioneer in several fields, including plant physiology. He also conducted agricultural experiments and introduced Merino sheep to France. In 1855, Sir David Bruce was born, an English bacteriologist. He traced the Malta fever to a bacterium later named for him. Malta fever causes abortion in goats and is usually transmitted by goat's milk. In 1886, Coca-Cola, invented by pharmacist John Pemberton in 1885, was advertised for the first time in the Atlanta Daily. And in 2004, tens of millions of pounds of almonds were recalled by one of the world's largest almond producers, located in California, due to a salmonella outbreak. At least 25 people were sickened in states from Alaska to Michigan. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated is here. Drew, farmers still would like to continue to plant, this time soybeans as opposed to corn. Will they get a break in the weather that might give them that opportunity? And in what parts of the Midwest would that happen?
Well, I think our best opportunity comes up here over the weekend into early next week. But unfortunately, before we get to that point, we're going to see quite a bit of rain again across a big part of the Midwest. The wettest region over these next few days will be from Kansas to Michigan and parts of Ohio. Much of this region will probably see 1 to 2 inch rainfall totals, with some local amounts getting over 3 inches. So that, on top of some of our already saturated conditions, is certainly not going to bode well. And some more localized flooding will likely take place, and areas of standing water, of course, in many areas. As we get into the weekend, we will start to develop a high-pressure system, and we'll see the skies clear off. And I think in the western part of the Midwest, we'll see that already starting maybe as early as late Saturday afternoon. But for the heart of the Midwest, it'll be Sunday, and then I think we'll probably be dry Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week without too much of a doubt. The question is whether or not we can extend that into Wednesday or Thursday of next week. And the key, I think, is going to be on a tropical system that may develop in the Gulf of Mexico and move towards Florida. If it does evolve as it's advertised to, we might be able to sneak in another 2 days of drying, and that would be probably perfect, because we'll be seeing temperatures in the 80s quite often next week, and that should help to stimulate some pretty quick evaporation and good drying conditions. So if we can get in an extra day or two in, then I think we can probably get the rest of this crop done.
And while it's late, your assessment of the condition of the crop at this point, either I suppose it's in really good condition, this is for corn, or it may be impacted pretty sharply by heavier rainfall. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. It's kind of a split deal across the region. Most of the early planted crop, I think, is in great shape and should be. We're in a very warm and humid environment here, and will be for the next 10 days. And the corn that's up, it should just eat that up and just really benefit greatly from it. Those areas that were planted most recently before the heavy rains arrived, of course, it may be smothered a little bit. Some replanting may be necessary in a few fields. There's probably a lot of variation from one location to the next, and that's probably going to continue for a while longer.
Do you have a similar assessment of what's been happening in China?
China, I think, is also doing very well. There's been some good timely rainfall across a big part of their production region. Some of the extremely far northeastern areas in Heilongjiang, which is one of their most important soybean-producing provinces, has been a little bit wet and cool like parts of the U.S., but not quite as excessively so. But the rest of the production region has really done quite well, and I don't think there's any major issues. There's a little concern about the harvest of their winter wheat and some of the rapeseed. It might be a little slow, it might be a little quality concern, but that would be the only negative thing I can find for China right now.
Drew, thank you so very much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City and joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.